This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. In today's world of information technology, blind and vision impaired people can hold their own when it comes to computer literacy. Many blind and vision impaired computer users are on a par with their sighted colleagues. The Visually Impaired Computer Society, VICS, this weekend is holding a training seminar day in Cork. On the line I have Brian Dalton, PRO of VICS. Brian, first of all, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Who is this training seminar aimed at?
This training day, Joe, is aimed at our less advanced computer users. So in other words, beginners to computers. The last AGM VICS had, there was a need out there for training to be done around the country. And lots of members were kind of saying, we've got no support structures in other parts of the country. So this is our third roadshow, for want of a better word, that we've done. And we'll be covering topics like Microsoft Word, Windows file management, and email and internet.
First of all, for the listeners who may not be aware of blind and visually impaired people using computers, how, if you can't see, do you use a computer?
Okay, Joe, I use a program called JAWS, which stands for Job Access with Speech. And that's basically a piece of software which is loaded onto my PC like you would load any other piece of software. But that, what it does is it interprets text that's on the screen. So if I've got a letter or a Word document or an email or a web page on my screen, it will read back to me exactly what a sighted person would see on the screen.
What about graphics, pictures and things? How will it work out with that?
Pictures, no. Unfortunately, it's not that clever yet. It won't actually handle.
But what does it do if a picture comes up, Brian?
All you'll get is you'll hear JAWS going graphic, 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 but it won't know what it is. If it's a straightforward picture, you won't hear anything. You'll just hear the text that's actually around the picture.
So I can't see to point my mouse at an icon. What do I do?
There are a number of shortcut keyboards that you can use to get there, like Control and O will open it, Control F4 will close it, or Alt F4 will close it. So there are a number of shortcut keyboards that you can use. There are certain graphics that can be labelled. Exist certain graphics and buttons that are on the screen. Like if you're on the internet and you want to buy something, well, there's a button there for buy. Well, you can actually get there by a shortcut as well. And I'm actually told by sighted people that using keyboard shortcuts is actually quicker than using a mouse to get there.
But people at this training seminar tomorrow will be learning such keystrokes, I presume. That's one of the things they'll be doing.
It is, Joe, yeah. And we'll be taking them through the various keystrokes for the applications. And we'll be also giving them a CD at the end of the training day as well, so they can take it away with them.
Is there anything on a computer that a blind person can't do?
Tricky question. PowerPoint, I suppose, is a module that presents me with the greatest difficulty, although I do have to say access has improved to that. Some documents that are written in PDF form, access to that is weak. A lot of documents on websites have to be written in that way because they have to be protected. In other words, they can't be edited. And the software used to interpret those documents is weak in terms of access at the moment, but it is getting better.
Do blind people have problems accessing websites, Brian?
It depends on how the website is designed, Joe. The message that VICS tries to put across is that a website can be fully accessible to a blind person, but it can be visually pleasing as well, because some companies offer a graphics version, a text-only version. And we don't really like that design because the text version falls behind in its terms of updating, while the graphics version can be kind of too visual in its appearance and can't be accessed by a blind person.
What about the new system that's coming in, Vista? Is that accessible for blind people?
It's supposed to be. Now, it's at the moment, JAWS, the main screen reader, is in beta form, which means it's in test form. But yeah, it's supposed to be in time accessible. I personally wouldn't make the move at the moment. I'd give it another 6 to 12 months until some of the bugs are ironed out personally.
It is possible for blind and vision impaired people to podcast stuff down as well, isn't it?
Or absolutely, is it? Joe. It is indeed, Joe. Yeah, there's a piece of software called Juice, which is available, and you can load that onto your computer and subscribe to podcasts and download them onto your MP3 player and take them on the go.
Mm-hmm. Also using printers, there's a way that they can print out stuff.
Yeah, there's no problem to a printer, Joe. Once the printer is set up and attached to a PC, if you're in a Word document, Control and P, we'll send the document straight to the printer.
Brian, can I ask you about scanners? What sure. does the scan? How do blind and vision impaired people work with scanners on their computer?
Scanner for me, I've scanned textbooks with a scanner, and basically what it does is it scans it, so it like it takes a copy of the page, and there are pieces of software available called Kurzweil, which will again will translate that image or that printed document into a text. Now, the accuracy of the document won't be 100%, but that's, you know, that's the way it will be for everybody. So if you are a sighted person and you scan in a document, it still won't be 100% accurate. But it will allow people to read such things like books, letters, or written documents like that.
The voice we spoke about when you said earlier on about your screen reader speaking, it is an electronic voice, of course, but do we have choice of voices?
Yeah, Joe, there are a wide range of voices out there at the moment. There's your normally Eloquence Jaws, your electronic voice, and there's also voices called RealSpeak, which are pretty good, I have to say, are pretty clear.
If I may come back to VIX, it does have a liaison with the Irish Computer Society.
It does, Joe. We are an affiliate of the Irish Computer Society, which has helped us promote our white paper, which is an information society for all, the non-visual way. And the message we're trying to get across there is that things can be accessible out of the box, like your Apple Mac now comes with a screen reader. So in other words, when you buy a PC, you don't have to go out and buy a screen reader to put it on. The Apple Mac comes with an inbuilt screen reader. But the ICS helps us to promote our awareness among people and also our training material as well.
Something interesting you mentioned there about taking stuff out of the box. Is this all this technology very expensive for people with sight loss?
It is, Joe. It is pricey. You have to go out and you have to buy a PC, first of all, and then you have to go out and buy an adaptive piece of software to put on. However, there are products at the moment, such as a piece of software called Rockbox, which was actually developed for people driving around in their cars. Wasn't actually developed for blind and visually impaired people, but what it does is when you load it onto a certain type of MP3 player, it will allow the menus to be spoken, it will allow your album tracks to be spoken, your battery strength to be spoken, and that's actually free. So all you have to do is buy an MP3 player like a sighted person would and then have this software loaded on.
Brian, hopefully we'll come back to this subject for another programme. We've discussed the results of the weekend.
Sure.
Can I wish you all the best of luck and thank you for chatting with me today.
Thanks very much, Joe.
NCBI has provided all candidates for the upcoming general election with a wish list to be addressed by the next government. The manifesto encourages candidates to consider the needs of blind and vision impaired people and of the extra cost involved in living with a disability. On the line, I have Owen Dardis, Head of Communications at NCBI. Owen, you're welcome to the programme.
Hi, Joe. Thanks very much.
First of all, we've got four recommendations here on this manifesto. The first one, an equal right to read. What's that all about?
Well, Joe, VAT is levied at 0% on print books and newspapers, and periodicals are eligible for a reduced rate of VAT under the European Union rules. However, audiobooks and e-books carry the full rate of VAT, which means that blind and vision impaired people are paying more to read. Commercial talking and e-books are often the first introduction people with deteriorating sight have to audio services. And a lot of people, obviously, who are blind and vision impaired will also use these services.
And what are NCBI looking for in this, with regard to this?
Well, we've got two main points on this one. The first is that we want the next government to remove the discrimination that we perceive there to be on reading against people who are blind and vision impaired. And in doing so, we want to see the introduction of a zero rate of VAT on all talking books in tape and disc forms, as well as on e-books, just the same as it's 0% on print materials.
The second recommendation, it's recognition of increased living costs of blindness. Now, people who are blind or vision impaired face higher than average living costs. I'm sure you'll agree with me on that one. And a blind person's pension is subject to a means test. This does not take into consideration the increased costs into account. This does not take into account the increased cost of living for blind and vision impaired people. So, again, I ask you, Owen, what the NCBI doing with this one?
We're calling on the next government to remove the means test from receipt of the blind person's pension, because, as you say, that is clearly a prickly subject. We also want, and this is very important, the blind person's pension to rise in line with inflation, which recognises the increased living costs.
We come now to access to communications. We were speaking about this earlier on the programme about computers and the like. Explain that to me, if you will.
Well, as your listeners will be well aware, communications and information technology have made a huge difference to the lives of everybody, and particularly to the lives of blind and vision impaired people. Communications and IT enable them to contact family members and friends much more often than they would otherwise be able to do so, and also to access essential services much more easily. Technology provides people who are blind with the means to participate in society in a greater way than they ever have been able to before. But the bottom line is that these technological solutions come at a cost.
And with blind and vision impaired people in mind, what do NCBI look for with this one?
Again, it's a range of measures, the first of which is that we're calling for line rentals for both fixed line and mobile phones to be fully subsidised by the state, and that internet and broadband services, the charges for them should also be fully subsidised. And finally, that there should be increased grants made available to people who are registered as blind to assist them with purchasing computers and other hardware such as mobile phones.
Yeah, we mentioned the cost of computers earlier on the programme with Brian Dalton. Finally, transport and mobility.
Well, transport is essential, obviously, for everybody to participate in society. And while it's very good news that improvements are being introduced across the board, public transport as a whole is not always accessible or available to people who are blind or vision impaired. Free public transport concessions do exist in some parts of the country, but this is useless where there's little or no public transport or where it's impossible to access existing public transport networks. And the fact is that for people who are blind or vision impaired to have access to employment, social and cultural activities, the private car remains a flexible and essential mode of transport, just as it does for fully sighted people. While blind and vision impaired people may not drive, they would still benefit from having access to the car as a passenger, of course.
And what are NCBI looking for here, Owen?
There's three elements to this one, Joe. The first is that the mobility allowance is extended to people who are blind or vision impaired so that they can avail of private taxis and hackney cars. Secondly, that blind or vision impaired people be permitted to convert the value of 5 years of mobility allowance into the disabled passenger's car grant to offset vehicle registration tax and VAT on the purchase of a vehicle. And finally, that a new blind car passenger's allowance be created so that families of a blind person can offset some of the costs of running the family car.
Those are the recommendations in the manifesto. Have you submitted them to the parties as it stands at the moment?
Yeah, we've written to every candidate who's standing at the forthcoming general election, as well as having sent it into the leaders of each of the parties and into the headquarters as well, trying to raise this issue in as many places as we can. And I think that's why it's very helpful that you've covered it today, Joe, because if your listeners are caught by people on the election trail, it would be very helpful if they could reinforce some of these points and support us in making these calls upon the next government.
Owen Dowdis, Head of Communications at NCBI, can I thank you for talking to me?
Thanks, Joe.
Well, that's our programme for this week. My thanks to our guests, Brian Dalton and Owen Dowdis. Just before I go, I'd like to remind you that you can download a podcast of today's programme from the RTE website. My thanks to producer Dave McHugh, Joe Bollard wishing you well, travel safely, God bless, bye.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie.